heart cried, all is vain. I lost all my will to live.
Too many times I've tried, too many times I've failed, and it only brought tears and shame.
Then I saw and I knew one more time, there his strength became mine. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to win, just when I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again.
From the stable to the grave, my Savior gave, and he gave his love.
I cherish the tree where I found the victory,
conquering hell and the foes. Praise his name, he arose. That's when Calvary came through once again. My courage to win. Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again.
Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again, came through once again.
Very good. All right. Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. And if you've never been in that place to where Calvary's come through for you again, God will put you in that place eventually. And I'm telling you, when you see the miracle working power of God that you can that there's no human explanation for but God, you know what that'll do? That'll put a charge in your life and your Christianity. Thank you, ladies trio, for the song. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 20 with me this morning. Matthew 20. As you're turning there, let me give you quickly the inspiration behind the message this morning. Quite often, I meet people. I meet enough people during the week, knock enough doors, talk to enough people out in the public forum Oftentimes I'll be asked the question or confronted with the question about something along the lines of, well, preacher or pastor, how do I make contact with God? What do I have to do to get God's attention about what's going on in my particular life? You ever watch people as they try to get people's attention? If you've ever been in a large group of people and you see that there'll be people from one side and someone on the other side and they're trying to get their attention. You ever seen a parent try to get their kid's attention? Now sometimes our children get oblivious to what's going on. But I always love to watch when people go through the various things trying to get people's attention about something. Well, can I say to you here this morning, do you know what? We're in a congregation of people. We didn't know how to get God's attention. And it ain't this. There is a way to get God's attention, though. And I want to take a portion of Scripture out of Matthew 20. If you'll stand with me this morning, we're going to begin reading in verse 30. I'm going to show you two guys that got the Lord's attention. And then I want to look at how they got it. Now Jesus here in verse number 29, if you'll notice there, it says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Now notice this. And Jesus stood still. Sounds to me like they got his attention. Sounds to me like they were not deterred by people who wanted to keep them from getting the Lord's attention. And Jesus stood still and called them. Did you notice? It was them calling him to begin with. Once they got his attention, now it's him calling them. It's him now addressing them and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Now, I want to use these verses this morning, if I could, congregation, talk to you this morning about getting Jesus' attention. Getting Jesus' attention. I'm going to say probably in a crowd this size that we got a few folks here that need to hear from God today. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that a crowd this size, there's probably some people going through some situations right now. You know what? You need to get God's attention because you don't think he's paying attention to what's going on in your life right now. But I'm here to tell you, there are ways to get God's attention. Now, humanly speaking, here's what we think. That we only need him until we get in a crisis and then we go, Lord, hey. Okay, that's how we treat him. Folks, can I say there is a process that these men followed that we need to follow and get Jesus to stand still and recognize your situation and look at you in your circumstance today. And you know what? He's got answers for you. He's got answers for your situation. Now, Father, we ask now, meet with us, we pray, and we'll give all the glory, we'll give all the praise to Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I have a 6-year-old granddaughter that I like to use for illustrations because there's just so many. And she just gives you so many opportunities. But I was sitting in the recliner the other day, and of course, you know how moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we get enthralled with what we're doing there. And when you got a 6-year-old granddaughter in the house, they kind of expect the attention to surround them, all right? Not necessarily for everything to surround us. And I was in the recliner the other day, and I was reading or doing something, and I heard her voice, but I didn't really turn and look that way. And she said, Poppy, look what I drew. She said, I spent some time drawing this for you. Look what I drew for you. Well, I just kept doing what I was doing, and I said, you know, gave her the token answer like most of them. Well, that's nice, Zoe. Wonderful. But see, the problem is that was not satisfactory. The words were okay, but there was no contact. There was no eye contact. There was no attention. There was no satisfaction from her that I had logged in to her, to what she was doing. And so I noticed that I was, as I continued on, she raised her voice another decimal. It was no longer now, Poppy, look at the picture I drew for you. Now it was, Poppy, look over here what I did for you. And she began to raise the decimal level of her voice. Now listen, you know why? Because I didn't make any eye contact. I didn't give her my attention. So she figured, you know what, if I'm going to get his attention, maybe, just maybe he didn't hear me. So she raised her voice a little bit more. And you know what, the amazing thing, I stopped because she raised her decimal level. She raised her voice, asked me to turn it, and I looked over there and she's holding her picture. Now listen, as long as I made contact, as long as she got my attention and I saw what she was doing, she was totally satisfied. And there was never any more raising of the voice in that particular situation. You say, has it happened since? Yeah, it has. Because we get so ingrained in what we're doing. Now, all I'm saying to you this morning is simply this. That my granddaughter, she wanted my attention. And she understood that the one that she needed to get the attention of was just right there. So she didn't have to call out the FBI or send out some kind of smoke signal or pop fireworks. She was just right across the room from me. So she knew all I've got to do is make contact or say, Poppy, can I have your attention for just a few moments? She wanted my attention. You know what? She had a need, folks. You know what that need was? That need was for me to look at what she had done. That need was for me to look and see what was going on in her life right at that time. And by the way, can I say to all parents and grandparents, when the kids call, you better listen. Amen. Because they won't be kids long. You better give them their attention now so when they get older, they'll want your attention then as well. If you don't give them the attention they need now, when they're grown and have grandkids, they may not want your attention anymore. Amen. Just a little food for thought there. You see, she had a need. Can I say she didn't stop until she got my attention? She just kept raising the decimal level. And finally, she got my attention. I made contact, and she was fine with it. She didn't let any other distractions around discourage her from what was going on. Now, somewhere, may I say, that we got the idea, somewhere we got the idea that in our head that God is too busy to care about our needs and the situations of our life. Somewhere we've got the idea that God is so busy and is so hooked into other people's lives that he's not really concerned about what's going on in your life. And he's not really concerned about giving you his undivided attention. We think that he's so bombarded with more important needs than ours and that other people have needs that are more priority than ours. Now, folks, listen to me. Can I say that we serve a personal God? He is not some God that is out there somewhere in space that doesn't know what's going on in your life. Can I say this morning, if you're a child of God, that you are priority to him? Now listen, I don't have any children of my own at home anymore, but I have grandkids that come in, and when the grandkids come in, you know what? My wife and I try to give them priority attention when they come in to our home. You see, since when has our Almighty God reached a point that he cannot assimilate every cry for his attention over the crowd noise? You ever notice we think, there's so many, God gets so many requests that he can't hear ours over the crowd noise. And so here's what we do. We cry out a few times, and if we can't see that there's contact, we stop crying. If we haven't made contact after one or two tries, we stop trying. Let me ask you this. I wonder if these blind men would have stopped. I wonder if that when someone said, hey, would you just go ahead and pipe down over there? God's not really concerned about your situation. Can't you see God's busy doing miracles? Can I say they needed a miracle? And they knew that they needed something and they refused to give up. We just got it in our head that our cry is of less importance than all other cries in our life. But you know what? Your need is just as important to God as anybody else's. And we live in an we live in a world and we have an auditorium of people here that I promise you that if I took a piece of paper and wrote down all the things that are going on in the lives of people in here, I'd have a list that long. And you know what? God's concerned about every single one of them. God's concerned about every single one of them. And can I say that not a single one of them is priority over another if you're a child of God? I'm just here to tell you, folks, listen carefully what I'm saying. You see, did you notice the situations here as we look at this story? Can I say, first of all, when we look at the story here, just give you some situational observations. First of all, can I say there are others that have the same need of Jesus' attention and going through the same trials you're going through? Folks, may I remind you there were two blind men? There wasn't one. There were two of them. And they had the exact same situation. See, sometimes we think we're the only person that's ever gone through this particular situation in the history of the entire world. And we're not. You and I go through the same difficulties that millions of others go through in life. Whether it be family, whether it be financial, whether it be marriage situations, kids situations, whatever it may be. God, this isn't new to Him. He understands that you're going through similar situations. You see, there were two blind men going through the exact same situation, the exact same thing. So there are others that are going through the same trials that you're going through. Can I say, number two, they were in position to get Jesus' attention? Amen. You think there's very many people, and listen, I'm not against the Cowboys, all right? I live two blocks from them. I'm not against them. I just wish they hadn't built that stadium there because now I'm going to need to move. Now, all I'm saying to you is that did you notice here that they were in position to get their attention, to get Jesus' attention? And again, I'm not against the Cowboys, but how many people do you think at the Cowboys game tonight is really going to be interested in getting Jesus' attention? I doubt very many of them are going to be interested unless it's, oh, Lord, please let us win. Please let us win. I got my opinions on that, and I'll just keep them to myself, okay? Because some of you, I'd hurt your feelings if I spoke out against some of your favorite guys. Now, all I'm saying is they were in position. Let me ask you, what if they decided, you know what, I don't think we're going to go to the street corner today. I think we're just going to go ahead and take the day off. Like some have taken the day off today from the house of God to go do what they wanted to do. Amen! Isn't this good stuff? Hey, can I say to you folks, listen, you know if these two blind men decided to take the day off, they would have still been blind. That's the reason it's important to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even so much more as you see the day approaching. We don't need less church, we need more church. We don't need less of God's attention, you and I need more of God's attention in the day and society and times that we live in today. You see, what if they decided to take the day off? What if they decided, you know what? We may be blind and stuff, but I got two free tickets to the Cowboys game tonight. I wonder how many believers do you think will be at the ball game tonight? All right, let's move on. You say, well, preacher, please don't hit that because I'm going. I wonder if they decided, you know what, the weather's so nice today. Let's just go ahead and go to the park and cook out today. Let's go cook some steaks and stuff. Can I tell you, if they'd have made any other choice than the one that they made, they would have remained blind. They made a choice and put themselves in a position so that they could get the Lord's attention. You see, I'm afraid, dear folks, that too many of us, we cry out for God's attention, but we're not in position. We're not in the position to get His attention. You see, obviously, they deemed their need of sight greater than their desires not to be in their place. Folks, we got people that are in desperate need today. In desperate need to get God's attention. May I say that there are others that have the same need? They put themselves in the position to get God's attention. May I notice number three here, if you'll notice there? They heard that Jesus passed by. Now, wait a minute. If they had an infirmity, they couldn't see Him pass by, so they had to use their other senses, and they heard He passed by. Now, stop. Let's think about this just for a minute. You think they saw any miracle that He'd ever done? They didn't see anything. They didn't see a miracle. They never saw anybody raised from the dead. They never saw anybody walk again. The lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. They didn't see any of that. So how did they determine that when Jesus passed by, you know, it's about time for us to speak up? Because they heard it. That's all they had to go on, is they had heard what Jesus had done. You see, can I say to you, some of you here today may be new to Christianity and you haven't, over a long longevity of time, seen God do a lot of things, but boy, you sure have heard that He can do a lot of things. And sometimes you're going to have to activate that faith based on what you have heard. You're going to have to activate it on what you've heard that God can do. And these blind men, all they went on was they had heard. And by the way, I think they came to the conclusion, you know what? If we don't do something now, this may be our only chance. This may be our only chance, because as we know, if you know Scripture, Jesus passed their way and it would be the last time that He would pass their way. He would not come this way heretofore anymore. It was their only chance to get His attention. Notice, if you would, in verse 31, the multitude rebuked them. Can I say observation number four is others tried to discourage them from crying out? You say, well, how does that apply to us today, preacher? Do you know what? Everybody in here has needs. And you're probably going to have somebody say, well, you know what? Because of the need, the type of need that you have, God's not going to be real interested in answering that. Because you have failed, or because you've messed your life up, or because of this or that, hey folks, listen, if we're going to go on that criteria, then ain't no sense in any of us trying to get His attention. You see, the thing about it is God's not operating on the criteria, oh, that's just two blind men. I'm only in the deaf healing mood today. I'm only in the raising of the dead mood today. He didn't go based on their situation. He went based on their need. And you know what? They needed His attention. And so the others tried to discourage them from crying out. They said, you know what? You're blind. Don't you understand? You've been blind. You've been blind probably since your birth. There's no hope for you, sir. There's no need. Why are you doing this? There's no hope for you. Let me tell you something. You've heard me say this, church member, many times, and I'll say it again. The only time that hope ceases for you is when you stop breathing. Then once you stop breathing, then there may be no hope. But as long as you're breathing and you're walking, you're alive, there's still hope for you. I imagine there were some who says, listen, you're blind. You've been this way for years. There's no hope for you. There's no cure for you. I'm sure that there were probably others that probably thought, hey, you know what? The Lord's, listen, He's trying to go take care of some other business. Your blindness is not priority. Well, it might not have been priority to them, but it sure was priority to them. It might not have been priority to the people that are trying to shut them up, but it sure was priority to the ones that were blind. So don't ever think that your situation is not priority to God, because it is priority to God as long as it's important to you. You see, others, I'm sure, didn't think that Jesus would be that concerned. Well, I learned something in the Christian life. I hope you've learned this. I've learned that, you know what, no, regardless of how little I think my need is or how unimportant I think it is, I don't ever take anything for granted. I take it all before the throne of God. And you know what? I let my requests be known to Him, because there I can find grace and mercy to help in my time of need. I can get His attention. But I got to put myself in the position to get His attention. You see, others tried to discourage them. But you know what? I like this. They didn't listen to bad counsel. They didn't listen to the counsel of other people. Be quiet. It's the Lord. I know. That's why I'm crying out. Well, you can't go to church. Don't you understand that you're a bad person? Listen, don't ever say that around me. Don't ever say, well, preacher, they can't come to church. They're bad. Have you looked in the mirror lately? See, the thing about it is, it's just that some of their sins may be outward. Some of yours may be inward. Amen. I just thought I'd just throw that out there. So all I'm saying is, there are probably some that just said, listen, hey, listen, be quiet. They didn't listen to bad counsel. You know what they did? They cried out anyway. And the end result was the thing I observed. Jesus stood still. He stopped. He acknowledged. He answered. He stopped. He acknowledged, he answered. Is that what you want? That's what I want. I want to stop him. I want him to acknowledge, and I certainly want him to answer. You say, "Oh, preacher, man, that is so, that's a, all this stuff is so wonderful. How do you do it? How does it happen?" Let's learn from two blind men. I'll show you how it happens. Because the same principles exist today in 2011 as existed in Matthew 20. Here are the principles. Are you ready? I only got a short time to give them to you. Here's number one. Give Jesus your attention, and he will give you his. Give Jesus your attention, and he'll give you his. You know, the thing that we find here is that these blind men, do you think for one second that anybody in the crowd cared about their situation? Obviously not, because they're telling them to pipe down. Obviously the people didn't care, but see, what the people didn't know is Jesus cared. And you know that Jesus already knew these two blind men and who they were and their situation. He already knew all about them. And you know what? He went by, listen now, their way on purpose. You say, "Well, how do we know he went by on purpose?" Well, he's God, right? And since he knows the beginning from the end, didn't he already know what he was going to do before he ever did it? So you know what he did? He went by their way on purpose. May I say to you today, God sent you here to church on purpose. Why? Because he's going to be passing by your way here in just a minute. He's going to be passing by your place, your pew. And you know what? He's going to be wanting to give attention to your need this morning. He's going to be passing by this morning. And you know what? If you'll give Jesus your attention, he will give you his. You say, what attention does Jesus want? He wants your attention in worship. That's why we came this morning. To worship God. He wants our attention in worship. He wants us to give him glory, according to Psalm 29:2, that is due his name. He wants us to magnify his name. He wants us to magnify everything about him. Can I say to you, dear church, that worship is simply the reflection of adoration? Anybody here thankful you're saved? Anybody thankful that we've got a God in heaven that will actually give attention to your need? Boy, I am. You say, "Preacher, when's the last time you had a need?" Oh, just a few minutes ago. Just a few minutes ago. You see, that worship is nothing more than the reflection of adoration. It's reverence. It's respect. It's honor to one with our submission to him. You know what these two blind men did? These two blind men gave him his attention. Guess what they got? They got his attention. Because they gave them Jesus' attention, he gave them theirs. May I say to you next that not only does he want your attention in worship, he wants your attention in dedication. He wants you to love what he loves. He wants you to love what he loves. You see, dear folks, Jesus loves people. You say, "But preacher, there's a lot of people that are hard to love." I said, Jesus loves people. "But preacher, there's hundreds of people. They're just very difficult to love." Have you ever stopped and thought about that you may be difficult to love? Have you ever thought about that it was extremely on the difficult list? I'm sure for Jesus to hang on that cross and die for your sins and mine. Why? Because you and I were very difficult to love. Because it was our sins that put him there. It was our sins that crucified him and hung him on a cross. You see, he wants us to love what he loves. And he loves people. Can I say next, he loves truth. Do you know we're to love truth? You say, "What's truth?" My word, Jesus said, is truth. And if his word is truth, I'm to love his word. Now the thing about it is, the reason I can love it is because I know I got it. Now, if I didn't know I had it, then I knew what I couldn't determine whether I'm going to love it or not. But you know, I know I've got it, and it's in my hand right here for the English-speaking world. It's right here. Why would you think that Satan would like to confuse the word to the world? Because that way he hates God, and that way you will be confused on your love relationship for God. Because he wants you to not only love him and love what he loves, and he loves people, he loves souls, he loves truth. Can I say he loves his bride? You say, what's that? The church. He loves his bride. Listen, I could probably go around to some of these couples been married 30, 40, 50 years, and you know what I'd probably hear out of their mouth? I could interview these men that probably say, you know what, preacher, we've been married 50 some odd years, and I love my bride as much today or more today than I did the day we got married. I'm here to tell you, folks, Jesus loves the bride. He loves the bride. You say, what's that? The church. That's the reason, you know what? We need to love souls. We need to love his word. We need to love the church like he loved it. You see, he wants us to love what he loves. He wants us to serve like he served. You go to John chapter 17. You know what the motivating factor behind Jesus' service was? To glorify the Father. Number one motivation. That ought to be our motivation. He wants us to love what he loves. Serve like he served. Hey, can I say he wants us to give like he gives? He wants us to give like he gives. He wants us to forsake ourselves and become his disciple. I'm just saying, church, he wants our attention in worship. He wants our attention in dedication. He wants our attention in service. He wants us to be available to serve, to teach, to witness, to minister to others. I'm just saying, you give Jesus your attention, you know what he'll do? He'll give you his. The reason some of the people of God, and some of you in this auditorium this morning, don't have God's attention because you're not giving him yours. And I promise you, if you don't give him your attention, you're going to have a hard time getting his. Particularly if you don't love the church and you don't love his word and you don't love souls. Now, as a child of God, that's hard for me to believe a person would fall in the category of not loving those things. But we are. So I said, first of all, these blind men gave Jesus their attention and he gave them his. Here's the second thing I noticed. Not only did I say principle one is give Jesus your attention, he will give you his. May I say number two, show Jesus your faith and he will show you his response. Show Jesus your faith and he will show you his response. You say, well, like what? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, without faith it is impossible. Impossible. I said impossible to please him. Now, how are you going to get somebody's attention that is displeased with you? How are we going to expect to get somebody's attention that's displeased because as a child of God, we're not living a life of faith? Most of us, listen, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, most of us could go right on with life if there were no God. Because all of everything we do is about us. And if God never gave us his word, never anything, we just go right on in operation, just like normal. Because most of our lives are not filled with faith. You see, can I say to you this morning that faith is a bullhorn to the Lord? You ever had somebody take a bullhorn and just let one go right in your ear? You know what faith is? It's a bullhorn. It gets God's attention. You see, he responds to active faith in the lives of people. You see, I noticed with these two blind men, first of all, their faith got activated. You know how it got activated? They heard. May I remind you, the scripture says that faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. You see how the scripture ties the hearing and the truth together? It's here, faith, it has to be activated. They heard, and guess what it led them to do? It led them to do the next thing with their faith. Then it got motivated. It got activated by hearing. Then it got motivated. You know how I know it got motivated? Because they begin to cry out. I don't think as the crowd noise was going by, I don't think they said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, I don't think so. Listen, when you cry out, mamas, remember the time you've been to the grocery store and the kids were there with you and all of a sudden you're shopping, look around, one's gone? My wife was at the grocery store not too long ago and obviously somebody had lost one of their kids. My wife didn't know what was going on, but about four or five, this woman was at the top of her lungs, folks, yelling the name of that child out. My wife's thinking, what in the world is going on? And this woman was frantic. And she just kept getting louder and louder and louder and kept calling out the name of that specific key because that's the one that was lost. That was the one that was misplaced. That's the one that got away. So she began to call louder and louder and louder. And can I say, once she finally came in contact and found the little girl's over there eating gummy worms or whatever it was. I don't know what she's doing. By the way, is that wrong to eat grapes and kind of test? Okay, I would better not go there. I hate to bring out depravity, don't you? Don't look at me like you had never tasted and sampled the grapes. Or just checked out and make sure the gummy worms were all right. Some of us need to, it is. Some of us need to go back to the store and pay for what we've eaten. You see, their faith was activated. They heard. It was motivated. They cried out. Can I say, the scripture says, the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. Their faith got motivated. It got activated. They heard that it was Jesus. Then it got motivated. They began to cry out. Hey, folks, listen to me. You need to understand this. God's not against you asking as long as you're not against Him answering His way. He's not against you asking as long as you're not against Him answering however He sees fit in His way. Because I promise you, His answer will be for your good and His glory. You see, I just said that their faith was activated, then it got motivated. Listen now, and then faith must be propagated. Look, if you would, are you still there in Matthew chapter 20? I want you to look at this now. And the multitude, verse 31, rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Listen to this. They cried. There's the motivation. But wait a minute. They didn't just cry. They cried the more. They said, listen, when people tried to stop them, they got louder. And then some others tried to stop, they got louder. And listen now, the more the opposition came, the louder they got. And the more they cried. See, there's going to be people who are going to try to stop you. There's no sense in praying for them anymore. There's no sense in trying to ask God for this anymore. You've been praying for this for 5 years, 6 years. Listen, folks, as long as you've got lost loved ones, you keep praying for them, whether it's 50 years. Because God will answer. You see, they cried the more. That word propagate means to transmit, means to generate. May I remind you, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus told the story of a man who had a friend. Some guests showed up at night. You know where he went? Hey, I got some guests. I need some food. Don't you know what time it is? It's late. Beat it. I need some food. Can you help me, please? I had some guests come in. I don't have enough food to supply. Listen, he went on and on. You know what Jesus said? That guy got what he wanted. Not because the guy wanted necessarily to give it to him, but because of his importunity. Because he would not stop. He would not let the oppositions hinder him. Well, let's look at the third thing, and that's this, finally. I said, principle number one, give Jesus your attention, He'll give you His. Principle number two, show Jesus your faith, and He will show you His response. Here's number three, tell Jesus your need, and He will tell you His solution. Tell Jesus your need, and He will tell you His solution. Now listen, folks, here's what happened. They cried. They were trying to stop from asking and getting Jesus' attention. The scripture says they cried the more. And because the more they cried, guess what? The scripture says Jesus stood still. And then when He stood still, did you notice? And Jesus stood still and called them. The amazing thing, here's what you got to learn. Here's what we all got to learn. Once you do get His attention, then you stop talking, let Him talk. You hear what I'm saying? Then once you get His attention, you stop talking, let Him talk. Because once they got His attention, He stood still, and then He called them. He began to do the talking then. That means now once we get His attention, you stop calling, you start listening. You stop calling and start listening to what He has to say. Tell Jesus your need, He'll tell you a solution. What was their need? There it is. He said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto Him, give us $1 million and we'll serve you. I want a new house, a new car. I want a new job. I want all of these things. And if you'll do all this, we'll follow you. Isn't it amazing that when you get in crunch time in life, things don't matter anymore? Can I tell you, I drive a car, I drive a truck, my wife drives a car and stuff, but you know what? That car and that truck, they don't mean nothing to me. They're just a way to get around. That's all it is. Can I tell you what few possessions I have, I enjoy them, but you know what? They don't mean anything to me. God take them all away today, and you know what? I need to have the attitude of Job, the God giveth, or God giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Oh, by the way, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because He gave it, and He can take it away. And so, they just tell Jesus your need, and He'll tell you the solution. They said, our eyes, that our eyes may be open. Boy, they just got right to the point. Hey, folks, listen. Don't beat around the bush with God. He already knows what the need is. And don't be afraid. They just said, listen, we need our eyes opened. They got straight to the point. Tell Him your need, and He'll tell you the solution. See, some of you this morning have a physical need. You know what you need? You need to tell Him that. You need to tell Him what the physical need is. Don't be distracted. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed if the answer don't come right away. Because listen, He's okay with you asking as long as you're okay with the way He answers. Can I say, some of you this morning have family needs? Go ahead and tell Him what the family need is. He already knows it. He said, but I'm embarrassed. Well, listen, get alone with God, and ain't nobody there but you and the Lord. Tell Him what the family need is. Listen now, if you're going to tell Him what the family need is, be honest. Because listen, too many of us try to fool ourselves. Okay? If there's internal problems with the family, be honest. And let Him know that there's internal problems. Be humble, be honorable. And then tell Him your spiritual need. You see, these two blind men right here, they needed sight. But there's some this morning that have a need of salvation. You say, well, how do I let Him know? Same way that old Philippian jailer did in Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved? You know what the answer came back? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him what your spiritual need is, and you know what? He'll tell you what the solution is. If you'll just come and be honest today and say, Lord, I'm lost, I'm without Christ, I know it. Other people think I'm saved, but I'm not. Here I am. You know what? He'll give you the solution. You know what the solution will be? Salvation. He'll give you the solution right here at the altar. Some of us need to come and tell Him our need of salvation. Some of us need to come and apologize for not being separated from the world. And not being a good testimony and witness for Christ. But I tell you one thing, it took Peter about that long in John 21 after Jesus called him to shore, asked him three questions. You know what? He got right about that separation thing. He sure did. And some of us, you know what? We're afraid to come this morning and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Because you know what? The chances are when you say that, He will. I'm just going to say this in passing. You know God's pretty hard up for servants today? That's not His fault. The need's there. The problem is, it's the people. The people. His own. We need to tell Him our need of salvation. We need to tell Him our need of separation from the world. And can I say, some of us need to come this morning and let Him know our need of sanctification. In other words, to be restored. Go to Psalm 51. You'll find David there after his debacle with Bathsheba, messed his life up, killed her husband. But you know what? He came in Psalm 51 and he used terms like purge me. He used terms like restore me. And you know what God decided to just go ahead and do out of His abundant grace? He decided to just go ahead and give Him His attention. David got God's attention. Guess what? God gave him His. You see, the thing about it is, David showed his faith. You know what the Lord did? God showed him the response. David showed before the Lord his need and told Him his need. Guess what God came back with? The solution. And now after that, David was never the man. The same man again after that point. I'm just here to tell you today, you know what? You want to get God's attention? Take the principles these two blind men used. You give Him your attention, He'll give you His. You show Jesus your faith, you know what He's going to do? He's going to show you His response. And you tell Jesus your need, and He will tell you the solution. God's concerned about your needs. And can I say this morning in conclusion, He can hear your voice above the crowd. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm going to give my testimony this morning by the uplifted hand. You say, preacher, that's me. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again believer, preacher. No question about it. If the trumpet sounded today, I'm with the Lord forever and ever. Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the whole purpose of this message this morning is, if there's as many people that have asked me this question outside the church, there's probably a large group of people that need to get your attention inside the church as well. And Father, here we have two blind men that had an infirmity that they could not help. And yet because they could not help the infirmity, it did not, Lord, distract them or discourage them or disappoint them from calling out. And when they were tried to be restricted, they called even more. There are some this morning that need to fall into that even more category or call the more. And my prayer is this morning, Lord God, whatever the needs are, move in a way that it would be evident that the power of God has taken control of this service. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around but me. This is a private moment, but I wonder if there might be someone here this morning or two someones here this morning that would say, preacher, I'm not a born-again believer. I can't put my finger on any time that I can ever remember being born into the family of God. It's not that I don't want to be, preacher. I want to be, but I've struggled with this for a long time. And you say, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I want to go. I want to know Christ, but I just don't know it this morning. No one's looking but me, and you'd say, preacher, that's me, and you'd let me pray for you. I want you to slip your hand way up high, and you'd say, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. You'd say, preacher, that's me. Just don't know for sure that heaven's my home. Don't remember a time, I can't put my finger on a time that I've ever been born into the family of God. And you say, preacher, pray for me. If you're like that, just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right, maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me that I'll take care of that bit of business for God? If you're like that this morning, you say, preacher, pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. And God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Anybody else who will join these two that say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Anybody else? Anybody else? Then let me ask you one last thing. I wonder how many people are here today say, preacher, I need to get God's attention. I need to get God's attention. There's some things in my life. There's some things in our family. There's some things on my job. There's some things just in my relationship with God I need to get God's attention about. Please, please, preacher, pray for me. How many are like that? And you say, that's me, preacher. Slip your hand way up high. So there's some things in my life right now I need to get God's attention on. There's things not going exactly like I want them to go, and I need God's attention in my situation. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down this morning. Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts of the people. I pray that you'd move this morning. These people are here on purpose. They're here this morning because you love them, you care for them, and you moved in their heart to be a part today. They're not in this position this morning by mistake. Neither were those two blind men, Lord, that sat on the street curb outside of Jericho that day. They weren't there by mistake either. They were in position. And Father, I have found out that probably, if I had to narrow it down, the greatest works that you've done in my heart, the things that you have spoken to me about, the wisdom that you have given me, I'm going to guess probably that most of that, Lord, has taken place at an altar, in a church service. That's the reason it's so important for us to be in the house of God. So I pray that, Lord, that you'd meet these needs. Those that need to be baptized that raise their hand, we had two this morning. I pray, Lord, they would move this morning and come and obey you in that area of their Christian life. And then, Father, there are many others that said they need to get your attention. You know their need. Please, please do your work this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? As we stand, I'm going to ask Brother Garner if you'll begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, the instruments begin to play. This is your time to move. This is your opportunity. Listen, if you meant business about getting God's attention, I found that most of the time that God's moved in my life, it's been at church. It's been at an altar. Would you come? If you slipped your hand up, this is your opportunity. If you need one of these pastoral staff members to pray with you, you come. We'll pray with you. If you're a lady, we'll have one of the ladies that will pray with you. Whatever your need is, this is your opportunity. Would you come? Would you come? If you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, I've already been saved. I need to be baptized." This is your opportunity. Would you come? You come? Sing it through again. Sing it through again. We have some that are still trying to decide. They're trying to make decisions about God's will for their life. This is your opportunity to come. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Can I say to you folks this morning, these two blind men, as they sat on the curbside outside of Jericho, they realized, you know what? This